Good evening, and welcome to
TC and Jake.
I was thinking this morning, the first thought I had this morning, and I haven't had one since, it's the only thought I've had this morning, is what a revolution it must have been the first time some guy was like, hey, I think we should shit in water every time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a really good point.
And I bet that there were people that were like, that's fucking dumb. Because it's not like you did that before. It's not like before toilets came along, you were like, well, let me just go find like a fucking river and hang right. my ass into that.
Yeah, but I guess I don't really know the history of how they disposed of excrement before that.
I mean, like, so I have a friend who doesn't have a conventional toilet where he lives, and he tells me that as long as you don't mix piss and shit, you're fine. Just like sprinkle a little dirt on it, dries out, it doesn't smell. Like, as long as you're not like re-moisturizing, you know what I mean? Like, you don't, like, if you're not putting, like, basically the opposite of this is probably some real fuel that the anti-shit and water people had on their side.
Yeah.
If you keep it away from water generally, it's just not a problem. It just turns the dirt, whatever, you know.
But so do you just like piss on the ground?
Yeah, just somewhere else.
Yeah, that'd be tough though, you know, because a lot of that plumbing is connected, the human plumbing.
Yeah, that's true.
At least a little tinkle.
You know, I think a little bit's fine. And you put a little dirt on there. The dirt will take care of some extent of it. It'll absorb.
Yeah, well, as I've told you, I don't know if this happened at the advent of pooping in water or not, but one of my dear friends once pointed out to me that he was like, hey, when's the last time that you took a shit you didn't look at?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I think never, now that you say it. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just kind of right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure we're the only species that does that.
Probably.
Because we're the only ones who are positioned like looking down at it. You know, you never, like a dog does like the foot grass kick thing, but they're not like looking at it.
Wouldn't be hard though, you know, to take a look back.
I think they don't
care. Yeah, they don't have any concern about it.
Yeah, and I don't even think like people who are I don't even think it's just people who are health conscious, you know, of like, hey, what's going on? I think if you search deep in your heart, you'll find a good banter listener that you've looked at 95% of the shits you've taken
at
since
least.
You were on a toilet.
Yeah.
I mean, my daughter will come in and be like, it was a big boy.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah, I'm always concerned by the size and shape of the things that come out of my kid.
No, it's, yeah, we've talked about this. Machine and I have talked about it a lot. I mean, they just, we're like an every 2 day kid, which is not good.
No, it doesn't sound good, but it's so hard to convince them to ever go to the bathroom.
It's, I know.
Resistant to the idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even when they know, like, you know, for me, like the second I think about it, I'm like, I'll just go.
Yeah.
Even if it's a 10%er.
And I mean, I remember being a kid, I used to have shitting experiences once a week as a kid that were like worse than anything I encounter as an adult.
I mean, at school, I was definitely a hold the feet up kid. You're basically just doing a straight leg stretch, and your feet can't reach the door at that age.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can prop them up. You just have to hold it up there so that if someone comes in, they don't immediately recognize your shoes and be like, it's Payless. Let's get in.
Yeah, just, you know, I think that it was just too much playing around, you know, having too good of a time. So I just like put it off, which is definitely what she's doing. And then, you know, you got fucking 3 days worth of shit.
Yeah.
You got to fucking hold on to something to get it out.
This is painful. Yeah.
Yeah, just fucking.
And they're in a bad, at least in our case, like, I know when it's been too long because it's the worst mood she can get in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I can, absolutely tell you why you're upset right now.
You just got to take a dump.
Yeah. Just go. And then afterward, yeah, it's a joyous experience in the end. And we all high five. And now it's we restart the mood cycle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, I don't want to tell this whole story here because I spent an hour on it yesterday. So you probably haven't heard it because we're, you know, we post mm-hmm. late and stuff. But I was in a commercial with Patrick Mahomes yesterday.
Oh, wow. Way to go. You won't tell the, or I mean, whatever. Yeah, you're right.
It would take, I just told like a very exhaustive version of it yesterday.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But,
so what,
but it's not all repeat.
Huh?
It's not all, I know there's like some not crossover.
But you've let them know if they really care, they can go find it. That's a reasonable point. But, sure. How much like interacting with him did you do?
You know, it's definitely,
what was the commercial for?
I actually can't say. That's the weird part about it. Is the one thing they were like, is like, hey, you can't say the product category or the product until like, because I think it's like a product launch.
Okay.
So, but I know a guy who's a director. I met him at Cash's a while back. You may have met him before too. His name's Cameron. And he was directing this thing and it was at APEC in Fort Worth.
Okay.
So as far as like direct interaction, I would tell you very little.
But
there
some?
Are like, yeah, so there's like 70 people there, I would bet. 60 to 70 people. And it's crazy. Like there's just, you walk in, I got there at like 7:45 and there's just cameras and trucks and gear, crates of gear and mics and people everywhere. And
isn't
I don't know
it
if
like
you've seen like the APEC
hard
floor.
To- Imagine right? like 60 roles.
Yeah, probably, but there was a lot of stuff going on, you know, like because a lot of people would be setting up the next thing while they were doing the other thing.
Yeah.
Because they don't want him to just have to sit there for a long time at any period of time.
Yeah.
He was still probably there for like 7 hours because I was there for like 4.5.
And, this is yesterday?
Yeah, yesterday morning. Okay. Which is why we started late on the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I initially thought when, because like Cameron went through Blake because he's worked with Blake on some stuff. And then I told Blake, I was like, I think you're fucking with me. I don't believe this. And then Cameron reached out to me. He's like, dude, no, this is, if you want to do this, it's an opportunity. And I thought it was like, you know, be an extra. And to an extent it was. But I did have a scene where I was on a bike and there were two ladies who were extras next to me who were, one of them was like a fitness influencer and the other one was like an actual model. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting in like the extras room with them and I was like, why am I here? This mm-hmm. makes absolutely no sense. Why didn't they just get, you know, a bachelor retread? You know, someone mm-hmm. who's like in shape and good looking. And, I was on a bike and I started pedaling and he was on a treadmill, you know, however many 10 feet behind me. And they're like, action. And I start pedaling and then he hops off the treadmill and walks up to me and he's got the product in his hand. And my line was, are you already done for the day? And he looked at me and looked at the camera and goes, I'm just getting started.
Hell yeah.
So we did that a few times. And, you know, I had like a couple little bullshit interactions with them where like they made him do things a couple times. I was like, they're not asking me to do anything again, dude. But he was super cool about it.
That's great.
He was super, super chill about it. He's a really, it's almost like Dirk. When Dirk would come up to the station and we're like, why? You don't have to talk to the intern.
Yeah.
But he just did. You know, Dirk is unique, but Patrick is, he seems like he's on a level near that.
You've been at APEC with him before. Was there any kind of like, good to see you again?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I've been there 20 times with him, but the 19 of them were, we never interacted at all. The only one was when I went out there to film a video when APEC was advertising at the ticket. And it just happened to be a day that he was doing like real workouts out on the throwing field.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, why don't you just catch one from him?
Yeah.
And we'll put it in the video. And that was, you know, that was it. I mean, we shook hands and He's like, oh, you're the guy from the radio.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
So then, without getting into all the details, there was a time like leading up to it where Cameron was like, we might have you like catch a pass, but do like almost like a Happy Gilmore, like a subway thing. Or like he throws something, but like when I catch it, it's the product.
Uh-huh.
And like he's already there because he like caught up to, I don't know. But after we did the little treadmill thing, they were like, all right, well, let's go out to the field and do the first throw and catch thing with this other guy. There was a fourth extra there, young guy, who's athletic. And they were like, let's have Jake change into the casuals. Because I brought clothes, but they also gave me clothes.
Mm-hmm. Did you get to take those home?
I didn't honestly want them.
Oh, okay.
They have to be extremely generic.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I didn't ask, but I wasn't really looking for a $20 shirt short combo.
Yeah.
And the shoes were not me. So.
Okay.
So like get Jake changed to casual for the interview scene. And I'm like, I saw like a rough outline of this a week before, no interview scene mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I was really confused based on the outline why they wanted me to bring casual clothes at all. But I brought a few pair of pants and a few button-ups. So they like go over and steam your clothes. And they like do makeup and like, hey, let's fix your hair or whatever. And then I didn't wait. I mean, I was there for 4.5 hours. I probably was on camera for less than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know how this goes.
Yeah, of course I do.
So he's doing like this repetitive thing where he has to read all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there like, dude, I really need to go to the show. And I feel like I'm not going to do anything else here today. And then they were like, all right, he's done. Interview time. And they walked me over and there were two chairs set up, like folding chairs on the inside turf field. And then like a huge, you know, backlit white drop thing with all the cameras. And there's like, at this point, there's again, like 40, 50 people like surrounding this scene. And it kind of looked like what you would imagine like Tom Pelissero doing on like a Sunday morning piece where for some reason to interview this football player sitting across from him, you need to be on a football field.
Yeah, of course.
But I was super confused by it. And they gave him a football.
But I mean, I know why, you know, you want to establish depth in the shot.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So whatever space you're in, you want to be like, you know,
deepest,
as far away from the nearest wall as you possibly can be. And yes, football field's fucking great for that.
So you do get it.
I do get it.
And I'm like, man, this was not in any sort of a script. I hadn't really talked to Cameron about it at all. He just said, next one with you is going to be the interview. And then he's running around, dude, mm-hmm, like boundless energy. He got there at 4 a.m.
Wow.
And he's having to just like command shot after shot after shot after scene after set after scene. And he's just like, all right, let's do that one. That was perfect. Let's try this. And Bobby was in it. And so he's having to do all that. And so I go sit down in this chair and I'm like just sitting across from Patrick. And I'm like, I said to him, dude, is there like a teleprompter for this one? Because there was a teleprompter in the back, but it clearly was the stuff he had just read.
Because
I'd heard it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, no, that was for the stuff I just did. And so Cameron, the director, he always had like either a monitor or like a camera that was, I guess, Wi-Fi hooked up to whatever they were shooting. You've seen directors walking around like looking at whatever, their daily, as Dan calls it. And I got nothing. I'm just sitting there and Cameron goes, okay, action. And then about 3 seconds later, he goes, oh, damn. He probably didn't say damn, but he was like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. He's like, we got to stop the interview. I got to change my lens out.
Okay.
And I'm like,
still don't know what I'm doing.
That happens. You know, I've seen it happen a couple times today where somebody was like, oh, this lens isn't going to work, whatever. So he's like, I got to change my lens out. And now I'm just like staring at Mahomes. And it's weird because I'm trying not to make eye contact, but also trying not to shoegaze.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, for the first time, I'd seen him look like kind of dejected.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, man. He's like, this interview's taking forever. He said something like, why don't we kill some time? He's like, why don't you hop up and go run a route? And that's the moment it hit me. I was like, oh, this is like the thing. Like, he didn't have to change a lens.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
They just wanted you to have this little moment of fun with Patrick?
Well, no, I think this was part of the deal. And I was texting with Cameron last night. He was like, call me tomorrow and I'll tell you why I couldn't really give you more time on this. But if they actually had to change a lens, there was a 0% chance that he would have filled that time by being like, let's have a catch, pal.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had the product all around us. And he was like, man, like, we're kind of bored here. He engages with said product. And then he's like, why don't you go run one? And I have product also around me. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm getting up. And I'm wearing slim fit khakis, a pair of shoes that they gave me, dress shoes that are about a size and a half too big. I have no idea what I'm doing. And I just get up and I walked like 7 feet over to the right to the edge of like what would be their sideline. And for some reason I said, it's on you. And he was like, all right. And he gave whatever cadence. And I went about 10 and then broke to the post and he lofted one up there. And I realized that he probably thought I was like an extra or maybe an actor who probably doesn't. I'm not saying I'm a football player by any means, but like he kind of lofted one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like breaking to the post. Ball's kind of behind me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, I'm definitely catching this ball. So I can see that I can get it, but I know if I get it, I'm not going to keep running.
Mm-hmm.
So I turn back, get the high point and collect. And as I do with the turn back, my feet just in shambles. Absolute shambles.
Are they filming this whole time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I have video. So I bring the ball to my chest, and as I do, I mean, my feet are like basically in an X. I land on my elbow. I roll over. Absolute eat shit fall. Pop up with the ball and throw the touchdown, and he throws it back. And then they were like, cut. They're like, we're not going to get a better one than that. And like the entire crew was laughing. And I look back and as I told Dan yesterday, Patrick was like doubled over and he looked up and goes, was he supposed to fall?
No, he's just supposed to look smooth and good, honestly.
And I went back up and I didn't know what to do at that point. Everybody was like, great job, great job. I'm like, dude, I just ate shit. And I just like handed him the football. And I was like, here's your football. And he was like, great catch.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's awesome. Okay. And they were like, all right, you're done for the day. And I left.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest experience of my life.
Wow. So why wouldn't they just tell you like, hey, go run a route?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I suppose I'm going to find out, but
yeah,
I'm kind of glad they didn't because I was like feet up on the line level with him. Like, am I just going to like run straight?
Mm-hmm.
Cause we're going to run out of room here pretty quick. Like it's not, you know, the garage door was closed cause it was raining. So it's only like 30 yards.
Yeah.
So even if I catch it at 20, I have a real chance of smashing into this garage door.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to throw a little bang eight in here.
And mm-hmm. As one does.
Sure. Cross the safety's face.
That's awesome.
It was really weird, man.
Maybe it's the start of an amazing friendship.
And I promise you that if that scene does see the light of day, I will be memed into the moon.
God. I hope so, man. I hope they play it every fucking stop set for the entire NFL season.
And even if they cut that part, I'll post it and so people can just use it against me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good.
But I mean, that's the first thing I thought of is I was like, oh, God. Because I was like, can we do that? You know, I'm thinking, let's just do that one more time. Like, if I have a better idea where he's going to locate, like, I can at least run as slow as I can and maybe keep my feet.
Like every NFL season, there is like a Jardians commercial, you know, that everyone associates with that NFL season. You see it several times a game.
Sure.
Some of those do involve Patrick Mahomes. Like this really, you.
I don't think it'll be quite to that level, but.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it would help here to know the product.
Yeah.
To know whether or not it's just going to be an Instagram ad or something you see.
I don't
constantly
know.
Constantly all the time.
I don't know. But either way, if it gets out, people will remind me.
What if you become
it?
Known as the guy from the commercial? What if people are stopping you on the street that have never heard the show?
Maybe the new Jake from State Farm.
Yeah. What if you're the new Jake from State Farm and your name is Jake? When he shows up in the Caitlin Clark, Travis Scott video, that was so much fun. That was a lot of fun. I just love that he's like in the way that Travis Scott is like, this is a big moment. I should be here for it. That Jake from State Farm's like, yeah, she's breaking the points record. I better head over there.
He's courtside a lot.
I don't know that I pick it up that often.
I've seen him at multiple NBA games, and I did some level of research on him.
Yeah, yeah. Just because his name's also Jake.
No, I was just upset that they replaced the original Jake.
Of course.
And eventually he was so present during the tournament that I'm like, well, you know what? I want to know what happened here. Jake from State Farm, the original guy, actually worked at State Farm.
Wow, really?
Yeah. He's a bartender in Illinois now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, nothing wrong with being a bartender in Illinois.
It's really funny, though. Like, the couple interviews I saw with him, it was like you might as well have thought that he was what's a good comp? I don't know, like Tony Soprano or something. Nah, he was a big – Gandolfini was a big actor. But somebody asked him, like, are you worried about being typecast for the rest of your acting career?
In some ways, yes. In other ways, no.
Yeah,
not
I don't
at
think
all.
It'll be a problem.
Yeah, I was – I had the – like, much like the how long have we been shitting into water thought, I was wondering what kind of house that Flo lives in.
Oh,
and there's now like I just found out the actress's name, and one of the first results is Stephanie Courtney House.
There's like a New Yorker article or something about her,
about
or New York
Flo.
Times or something. Yeah,
yeah. I'm looking at this. This is, you know, I mean, like it's in Los Angeles, so it's probably not. I mean, like it's bigger than your house, but not like it's on that scale. But, you know, if you put your house in fucking a nice area of Los Angeles.
$7 million house.
Yes, yes, yes.
She was in Mad Men.
Yeah, she was in Mad Men.
Yeah, it's the New York Times. It was from November last year, and it's a Sunday feature.
I'm trying
to see. They wrote a whole thing about her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is exactly where I thought it was. Look at me go. I know LA maps so good. You're a studio city area, just north of the mountains, just beginning to get into the beautiful San Fernando Valley. That's where Flo's at.
Well, I'm glad you know that.
Yeah, yeah, pretty cool. Pretty cool. And now Jake from State Farm. I bet the Flo's made more money than Jake from State Farm so far, right?
Yes, I would agree. However, Jake from State Farm gets like a level of celebrity access that he probably values quite highly and especially much higher than Flo.
You know, I think it's just because they look different.
Well, I mean, I think it's that
like Jake from State Farm would look at home hanging out with Travis Scott in a way that Flo wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, certainly there's not just a race component, but a gender component. But I mean,
and just the general look, you know, if he was Jaleel White, it wouldn't work as well.
Probably not. Although I think at some point Jaleel White did get pretty jacked.
That's tight. That's very
tight. Yeah, I mean, he's like actually friends with Drake.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And he's definitely actually friends with Chris and Cliff Paul and Steph Curry. I mean, he was in a Super Bowl commercial with Drake.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. But, you know, you were
I think Mahomes was in that, too. I think
Mahomes.
I've seen pictures with him with Mahomes. They were in the article.
It's not like it's a guarantee if you're in a commercial together that you become best friends. That speaks to the personal charisma of Jake from State Farm.
We're just going to have to see. You know, it's day two. Oh, anyways.
How long have you had that shirt?
One of my lawyers bought it for me.
Yeah, I know which one.
Yeah, of course.
I know which one was buying gifts for the crew.
Yeah, Dan has one that says, no, I did not, have not looked into something I didn't know existed.
Yeah.
Except it's actually on a throw pillow.
Yeah, Jake just did a little stretch to reveal that he's wearing a shirt that says, I believe he once represented Vanilla Ice.
I thought you could, I didn't know that was a famous line
from the deposition.
Yeah, it was probably my only good line, but anyways.
Yeah, I don't know. It would be real nice to be Flo from Progressive. Don't you wish you were Flo from Progressive? And to your point about celebrity and Jake's from State Farm, it depends on what room we're talking about, you know? Like, if the Dixie Chicks are bringing one on tour, it's probably Flo.
Yeah, I mean, that's I guess if you box me in like that, I suppose.
I'm just saying, yeah. You know, it's variable. Like, if Reese Witherspoon's going to give NFT advice to only one of them.
Ooh.
I like Flo's chances. It's more competitive than the other example I just listed, but I still like Flo's chances.
Okay. Yeah.
I just feel like it's part of her female empowerment that Reese Witherspoon's only giving out the good NFT advice to the ladies. She just feels like she can talk with them in a way that's more direct and honest than with a man.
It's so fucked up that her and all those people don't have to just wear that on the chin.
Well, you know, I'm doing my best. I bring it up a lot.
Yeah. Matt Damon.
And I don't know. I don't like, see, she just always stands out to me because, like, Matt Damon took a check, you know, like the way that fucking any of them do. Like, if you think that you see a celebrity, you know, like Jake in a commercial, endorsing something, that it's because they love that thing.
It's a good product.
Maybe you need to wake up a bit. It turns out that Matt Damon is not personally fucking hyped about cryptocurrency.
I think there was some part of their comp package though that was so I mean that's minimal, but it's not nothing.
Yeah, but Reese Witherspoon wasn't in an ad. Reese Witherspoon, like, personally, like, she was the one making the ad, essentially. Like,
was she the one who was on Fallon?
I think so. No, Paris Hilton.
Paris Hilton was on Fallon, and they were both showing their apes.
Yeah, look at my ape. Yeah. Jimmy's like, oh, it's so cool. I have an ape, too. Yeah.
How transparent, dude. You want to talk fucking about, rules. Like, the purest distillation of manufacturing consent?
Yeah. Yeah. We've got this thing that goes up in value if we convince you that it's cool. So let me spend some of the most valuable time that exists in the world doing that.
Without ever telling you that I will receive a handsome profit.
It's not even a big deal. That's not why I do it, you know?
No, I just love the concept.
Yeah, I just think this picture of a monkey is so fucking cool. I got to put a different hat on mine.
Oh.
So, I don't know, 15 million?
My daughter gets to do that fucking on nuts. A $20 Amazon tablet where she changes out the hats on cats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I was never close to that, you know. Top Shot would probably be the closest I got. And I got to tell you, like, I thought possibly the idea of like, if you had like a game room or man cave and you had like, instead of posters, moving shit on the wall was kind of cool. But tying it to blockchain technology and all that, I always thought was a little silly. I just thought, if I monitor this enough, I might be able to make a little bit of money. And I want the record to show that I was not wrong about that.
Yeah. No, I think you should feel fine about it. I feel fine about our interview with the great John Daigle. Like, you know, yeah. I don't know. I think it shows up there that I'm sufficiently skeptical of the value of the thing that he's describing.
Like Web3?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like for a second, it felt like the entire world was like against me and like, what doesn't this guy get? Of course, this is great. And then that second passed pretty quickly. And then everyone else was asking similar questions of like, all right, so you tell me I want this thing, but why do I want it? And now we live in a world where all of it's collapsed. I mean, you know, like Bitcoin's a separate deal. I don't know.
That's completely a separate deal.
I feel like Corral Bob's points to you about Bitcoin are fine, you know?
Yeah, and we had a guy on yesterday that...
he's talking to Bitcoin guys left and right?
He was a listener. He actually brought his three kids, and he's like an aerospace engineer. He got in on the Yahoo IPO when he was 20.
Whom amongst us?
And he's like, you know, he's very logical about it. He's like, I don't keep more than 3 to 5% of my portfolio in Bitcoin. But I mean, he bought like 10 of them at $70 each and also had his own mining machine, like a small one in 2010. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not going to sell this at this point because I sold my Yahoo stock too early.
Yeah.
And your investment is so low at that point that you're like, all right.
If you do have your Yahoo stock profits sitting around, you know, like,
yeah,
I would sell it because got to pay some fucking bills.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to get paid any other way. If you have some choice about these things, then you can really maximize value. How fucking smart is Horal? I mean, I guess like in order to participate in the space or in order to participate in any number of spaces that Horal Bob's in, like the minimum requirement is that you be this smart. So like, I don't know. In some ways, he's a cocky guy. I think everyone would agree. In other ways, like, I think that he does, like, not think it's remarkable his own intelligence because he's used to being around other people of similar intelligence. But, like, to just, and I mean, whatever, he's thought it through. It is, like, you know, cryptocurrency is to some extent a job that he is doing. You know, like, it's been a pretty big focus since he got out of MDA gambling, I believe. But, like, I don't say this as an insult to you and Dan, but you and Dan could have talked about it for, I don't know, 10 years before ever coming. Like, whenever Dan was like, how high is it going to go? He's like, well, you know, market cap of gold, somewhere around that. Like, that's just such a fucking, I mean.
Yeah.
It's a great thought. And like, I've heard that expressed before, you know, like at this point, it's clear that you're not going to like pay for movie tickets and cryptocurrency the way that people thought that you were going to at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So like, what is the utility of it then? And it's, you know, it's as a something that, you know, holds value the way that gold or silver would. But I don't know, man, it's a very sharp thought.
Yeah. And the guy yesterday was like, I'm just holding on to it basically as a hedge against the dollar. He's like, I have, you know, most of my investments are in things based in either the US dollar or other, you know, fiat currencies. And he's like, well, if I can have part of my portfolio, a very small part, that's not that risky to me, wrapped up in something to just hedge against those currencies. He's like, well, that just makes sense to me. And without being like very well versed in economics, it makes sense to me too. There's a lot of instability in the world.
Yeah. And I mean, just, you know, like I think generally was getting at, you know, like it's hard to make investments that aren't the stock market or that wouldn't go up and down based upon the stock market, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess I don't know, like I could see, I mean, cryptocurrency wasn't really around in the last big financial crash, but I'm sure there's still plenty of other examples. It feels to me like if the entire economy went to shit, the cryptocurrency wouldn't benefit from that.
Like, no, it's just a matter of how protected it would be. But I would say that actually its existence was born out of
that probably situation. I guess it certainly had a big effect, and then cryptocurrency came along not long after. So that was your day yesterday. I had a very much less interesting day, but it did bear one short anecdote I would like to share with you.
Okay.
I was given rides, started out with a meeting a wonderful listener, had a great time, a service available to all, tc@itsjustbanter.com. And then just doing rides from there, catch one from the airport out to the Arlington area, do a bunch of short rides in the Arlington area, one of which being, it's like an old man, you know? He's waiting on the curb whenever I pull up. I couldn't tell if it was like an exclusively assisted living apartment. It might have been. Or that he's just an old man that's got a regular apartment. But he's waiting for me. He's very friendly when we get in. You know, he's talking. It's a short ride, but, you know, he's chit-chatting the whole time. And he's going to lunch. And as we approach the Chinese food restaurant in Arlington that he had directed me to, he's like, hey, can we pull an audible? Can I go to the place next door there? And I was like, yeah, man, no problem. And the place next door that he's directing me to is indeed a Hooters. And he
Yeah, it's a tractor beam, dude. I mean, if you see one and it's there, it's really hard to be like, okay, I'm going to eat. We have that established. It's like, you know, whenever you see like a premium, regular, and then like ultra pat, and they do the X's in the red.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, all right, yeah, they both have food. both passable, neither great. Now, what could be... What could tip the old scales here a little bit at 12:30 in the afternoon?
And in case that was an open question, he went ahead and answered it for me. He's like, "Hey, I could either eat rice or see girls in shorts. Not a hard pick." I'm like, "I can't see a lie. I think you're making the right call, bud."
It's just interesting to think of, like, most people don't go to lunch at Chinese restaurants they've never been to before.
Yeah.
So if you've been, like, you're aware that there is a Hooters next door. So was it just like you were trying to fend off the urge until you got there, you know, like any addict or whatever, and you're just like, all right, well, yeah, I had best laid plans, but not this time.
Could have been just not really thinking about it, you know, just be like, all right, yeah, I guess if, oh, yeah, fuck, that Hooters is right there.
Yeah,
because it was like right as we came up on it that he was like, oh, you know, yeah, actually, fuck that. Let's go to Hooters. I hope you had a great lunch.
I think Hooters gets a bad rap because of the titties. I don't think there's a distinguishable difference between Hooters food and like Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's hard to do wings wrong. Although I will say, I do hold Wingstop in such higher esteem than any other similar establishment.
I would agree with that.
I got a bad situation brewing, or some would consider it good, but I don't know. I don't feel great about it. You'll get it. As the guy who doesn't want your haircut lady to talk to you, you'll get it. Most of the staff that works at the Wingstop doesn't ask me my name anymore.
Yeah, okay. I mean, look, everybody's been a regular somewhere at some point.
I guess it could be worse as far as like places to go, but like it doesn't feel like, you know, like if they knew my order at Al Bernays, I could live with that, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, again, like if you were at the strip club so much, they were like, Mr. Fleming, your seat.
The most striking one was, I walked in, the guy was taking a phone order and like without breaking stride, just like reaches back, grabs my bag, hands it to me, doesn't exit the phone call at any point.
That's, you know, look, it's a good restaurant.
It's so good. And it's so close to my house and we have a great time every time.
Man, I gotta tell you, like we moved, over the weekend, which honestly, I don't even want to talk about anymore. It's such a fucking beating. But I think I took for granted, you know, we're in the burbs, so it's not like we live where you live, where there's just endless options that you could literally walk to. But moving back towards where Dan's house is, like there's no go pick up food that's less than 10 minutes. And probably not less than 15 if you want most things.
Yeah. Yeah, our old house was like that. There was nothing anywhere near it. And that was something that I was constantly hyping.
Other than that taco place.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, even that like wasn't like there's, I don't know, at least 15 restaurants closer to me now than that taco place would have been.
I at least had 6 or 7 in the rotation that were decidedly under 10 minutes. And that feels like if I'm going to not pay for delivery, and go pick it up, I don't want to be gone more than 20 minutes.
Yeah, hopefully, yeah.
And now it's like there's, you know, and the other thing too is like everything that's semi-close is an actual Southlake and they're not restaurants that I want to eat at on Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have a like a mid-Thai place that I could go to.
So have you started cooking more?
Yeah, you would think, except the stove and the oven in our rent house don't work yet.
Oh boy. I thought the whole point of a rent house was it's kind of a works out of the box sort of thing.
They say someone will be here by the end of the week, but
That's great.
They're not here yet.
That's just great.
It's great if you want to have an excuse to leave the house for 33 minutes to go pick up food and get to eat out every night.
Yeah. You'll be able to listen to more podcasts.
I'm a big silent driver a lot of times. I do still listen to five or six. Yeah.
What are you doing? Just driving in silence?
Quite a bit, yeah. I always
terrifying to me.
I always did it on the way home from the show. Yeah. Unless I was on a phone call. But I would just like, my head would just be so like, ugh.
I've started to experience that more. And I've formed this thought before saying this. This is not a shot at you, despite the sequencing of these things. But as I like find myself more unable to like listen to music and do things at the same time, I think it's cognitive decline. It feels like my brain's getting overwhelmed too much.
Like that's probably true.
I almost never experienced the sense before of like, you know, just being like, boy, I'm too exhausted to listen to music.
Yeah. And I got to think about what I want to listen to. And then I'm like, it's in traffic and I'm just like, you know,
it's just something about like the process, the auditory processing is like too challenging. It's like too much work to like have the sounds come into your ears and like make sense of them.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that if you're doing Uber, you're probably dealing with a lot of, you know, I don't know how talky, not everybody's talky, but they may just be talking on their phone.
Most of them are.
Why Today Doesn't Suck was definitely just a bukkake of sounds coming into your ear that when you got done, you're just like, I need a rag and I'm going to not have sex.
Yeah.
And our show is not quite like that, but it is, you know, we take one like 3 minute break in 2 hours and 40 minutes. And so when I get done with that, sometimes I'm just like, yep, we're going to ride in silence.
Yeah. Yeah. Why doing it on the way to dinner, though, is different.
It is. But then, you know, it's a similar thing where I'm leaving the house where, you know, somebody's hitting someone with a broom and there's just a lot of screaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of screaming.
Yeah. Megan struggles with the child noises more than me. I can handle it. I contribute to it quite a bit, if I can be honest. If I can tell that she would enjoy a good, she loves it if I just like yell as loud as I can.
God, you're difficult.
I've learned that Megan doesn't like it, so like I'll wait till she's not around to do it, you know.
Why would anybody have ever liked it?
I mean, the kid loves it. And I'll do any, like the way that she laughs when I do it, like I'll do anything that'll make her laugh like that. And I would think that like the juice is worth the squeeze for everyone who holds the child in similar esteem to how I do. But I've learned that's not always the case.
The key is if when you have two.
Get them screaming at each other.
Yeah. And then any noise that he makes, if he's like, ah, she'll just go, ah. And then I don't have to, you know, I'm not party to it, but they're both laughing and they can't get near as loud as a PC can.
Yeah. That's what's manageable. Funny to her. I think the funny thing is like that it's just such a different scale than her loudest noise.
Probably. I think what's funny to Nora is just that she could be louder than him, but it's still ain't that long or that loud.
Yeah, no, this is I always thought it would be wonderful to have multiple children, but I'm starting to really pay for it now. I'm just like, this just so like she's really fixated on like in the last 2 or 3 weeks, she started to specifically ask, and like, you know, this is common enough. It's going to seem insane. This is only been happening for 2 or 3 weeks. And I mean, I guess it happens in other forms at other times, but she'll just be like, can we be silly now? And I'll be like, yes. And then we'll do it. And then, you know, I mean, I got 20 minutes is fucking taxing for the kinds of things that she's demanding.
Of course.
Various chasing and throwing around and stuff. And I just wish so badly that there was some kind of similarly sized tag team partner that I could be like, you go fucking wear each other out.
I think you got to thread the needle, though, man. Like, I think if Carter were a year older, it would be easier because they somewhat entertain each other, but it's a volatile situation.
Yeah, and no, I'm sure. I think it rarely works. Boy, it doesn't seem like my brother's kids. The thing I just described would work easily all the time, but it works some of the time.
Yeah, and they'll play a little bit. Like last night, they played for about 20 minutes, but it was mostly, you know, she realizes that if she wants to, she can physically still dominate him.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that he's a lot more willing to do it.
Yeah.
So, like, she usually takes the brunt of it, but then sometimes she realizes, like, I'm still bigger. Like,
yeah.
And then the other part of it, too, which I didn't have to deal with was, and obviously you didn't have to deal with, is, like, it's probably every couple of weeks that she's like, why did we not have a sister? And I'm like, listen, we paid $40,000 and had one shot at this. This is the one they told us would live. Eat your fucking macaroni.
Yeah, don't tell her that you did pick.
No, you know what's funny, though, dude, is like, and I'm sure every parent has experiences like this. I think it's, I'm probably regrettably prone to positioning my kid as unique, or, you know, maybe everybody is, you know, but.
Sure.
Last night when she tackled him and. It was pretty hard and his head hit the ground and I'm like, hey, you know, you gotta be a little more gentle with him. And she was like, why? Because of his head surgery. I was like, damn, like you were 3 and a half when that happened. Like I was surprised that she remembered, like it didn't stop her from slamming his head into the ground, but it at least registered to her afterward that he had had a skull surgery.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, yeah, kind of, but also don't do it to anybody.
I'll always be checking if whether or not Izzy remembered things, even if she was like less than one or something.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes she'll surprise you. I think I have determined that she's not one of the people that remembers 100% of her life. It's a lot of accountability.
Yeah.
So kind of probably last topic for me. I don't think I got a bunch of other things here. I care a lot about housing issues, right? And I think that you care less about them. But I think that I have one that's got a particular flavor that it seems fun to me, and I want to find out if you think it's fun. So, you know, my general, like, I think it's one of the largest tragedies facing the American people that you can't. Especially like downtowns, you know, like areas that no one would consider anything other than urban. The fact that you can't have unlimited by right building on those is fucking crazy. Like, you know, everyone knows about the Bay Area housing crunch. And like no one who's moving to San Francisco is doing it because like they want an, you know, idyllic pastoral setting, you know, like it is naturally beautiful in San Francisco. But you understand, like, you're moving to a city. Presumably, that's, like, why you want to do all that. And if San Francisco had, like, the density of Manhattan, then it would be fucking way, way different. Like, they make it so that you just, you know, you can't build many tall buildings. The densely, you know, like there's just some degree of density there already, like the row houses and things of this nature. But like they insist that like this level is good, but any more would be bad, which like seems insane. Like no one who's against density, I would think, would like find the current situation there acceptable. But obviously I'm wrong because the city's full of people. I mean, you know, whatever. It's not necessarily that the city's full of people. It's that the power structures are set up in a way that the people who disagree with these kinds of things are the ones that make the decisions. And the people who are, like, renters that would like it if they could live in that area, if they, like, made it different, you know, can't really make those calls. So, you know, I don't know. I think that if the entire, like, the city of San Francisco, like that part, it should all just be like much, much taller and there'd be a lot less human suffering and the, you know, fucking homeless people running through all the nice stores, I think would go away. Like, the whole thing functions a lot better. You know, like a lot of homelessness is related to the like price to get into the cheapest houses in the area. Like some people will say, you know, like homelessness is just mental illness or just drug addiction. You know, that if they, but like the fact is you can be a smack addict who has a really, really, really shitty apartment if it's easy to get a shitty apartment. And that would be better. You know, like I would prefer that no one's a smack addict, but why wouldn't it be nice if they didn't do it near like someone's place of employment, you know?
You could also be someone who has limited capacity in the area of like skilled, even skilled labor, who the jobs that you can get sans smack also don't put you in the over the threshold of being able to purchase or rent housing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, I don't know. It just, it makes a big difference in terms of the amount of misery that's going on. And so I think that, you know, if I could make one political change, it'd be very hard to pick one. But it, housing would be, you know, real high up there. And so, you know, I follow these things whenever there's like a notable high profile fight over trying to allow more density in an area. And there's a especially delicious one that's going on in Vancouver right now. It's been going on for a little bit. But I they had a big article that got published recently that I was reading again. Because anytime I'll see, I've read, you know, four articles on it already. If I see four more, I'm going to read them too. There's a situation where I don't, despite reading several articles on it, I can't really like trace the legal history for you. But I imagine it to be something like the situation with the Supreme Court in Tulsa with the Native American tribes up there. Do you remember that one?
I do.
Where like, you know, there was some treaty from the early 1800s that said like most of Tulsa is Native American land. And so, you know, basically the upshot is that like certain kinds of arrests, if they were arrests of Native Americans in Tulsa, that that was not lawful, that they had been guaranteed the right to, you know, their own kind of justice system.
I think there were murder convictions.
Yeah. And so this is a similar thing going on where there's lands that are like, you know, been designated, you know, this belongs to the Native American tribe, but it's fucking downtown Vancouver. And so there's been, you know, like, I think for a long time they were like, well, you know, it's your land, but of course, our land regulations still apply. And the courts have decided, in fact, they do not. And so the whites that are freaking out now about, like, because they, you know, they decided to build as, like, it's, I don't know, like, 70-story towers or something. I don't want to get that wrong. I shouldn't have said a number. It's very, very tall towers. Like, the craziest, like, kind of how many people can we fit on this parcel sort of stuff. And, like, they look fucking beautiful, in my opinion. But they're definitely going up in a neighborhood where someone's paying $3 million for their house because it overlooks whatever. You know, like, I think it might be, like, just across from that peninsula where most of downtown Vancouver is on. So, like, you know, you pay, and like, I don't know, if someone built a giant building between me, my house, and, you know, in downtown, a way that blocked my view of downtown, I wouldn't love it, although it would depend, you know, like, just be able, I mean, I guess it really depends on how close you are. You know, if they built it right next to, it's not like I'd be thrilled about it, but I also wouldn't think that I have a right to stop it. You know, like, it's not like every single thing that happens to me that's not ideal that I should be able to halt it, even if it helps other people, because like just my rights are more important than theirs. I find that essentially disgusting. And, you know, so the fact that some people feel that way is crazy, but it's added like a whole another layer that like they've been trying an argument. The whites with the houses that are, you know, with the nice views currently have been like, but I thought you guys were returning to nature. I thought you loved nature. Like I watched Pocahontas a couple times and I don't think she would build a high rise. What are you doing? And they're just like, don't fucking care. Do you know how much money I could make if I build one of these bad boys here? Like, what do you think is better for my kids? That they, like, have a couple more trees?
Yeah.
Or that they have $7 billion?
That they know how to whittle?
Yeah. So, no. I don't give one fucking shit. I'm building the cool houses right near the big city.
So it's settled?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything they can do. I don't think, maybe construction has started. They're certainly not like open or anything. But yeah, plans are chugging ahead and they're holding all kinds of meetings where the people can show up and be like, I think this is a terrible idea. And, you know, tribe's just sitting there. Can't stop it though. And I essentially wish
the closest thing we have to reparations.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you know, the way that the casinos have been a real nice thing. Like, this stuff's great. I love it. I think everyone loves it. Whenever, through some weird trick, that Native Americans are made rich. Because I still think that the average, like, the ones that don't have casinos are numerous enough that, you know, it fucking sucks. Go watch Wind River. It'll teach you about the plight of the average Native American. But if we can use fucking gambling and land use regulation to remove this, that'd be great. But I mean, you know, obviously most of them were not granted lands in the middle of a dense urban downtown.
Beautiful, dense urban downtown.
Yeah. I'd love to know like how, because it had to be like at the start of whites coming in that they were like, all right, well, obviously get the fuck out of here. But you could go on the edge of town, and town just used to be smaller. That must be it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, by now, it's, like I said, it's prime real estate. But yeah.
I'm excited to travel back once they remodel the place.
Yeah, you could get an Airbnb in there. I bet that part of it will include a hotel. Anytime you got a big tower like that, they'll usually hotel up some of those floors.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Cool, man.
Well, good times. Maybe we'll talk tomorrow.
All right.
Unless I'm with my friend Patrick. All right, I'll see you.
That's it for tonight. The high school special is next, so until tomorrow, for everyone who's been a part of this one, I'm
TC and Jake.
We do thank you for watching. Good night.